Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Pearl Global Industries Limited Q4 and FY24 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on a touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Pallab Banerjee, Managing Director of Pearl Global Industries Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Hello, this is Pallab Banerjee. Hello, everyone. Good morning. Welcome to our Q4 and financial year 2024 earnings conference call. Along with me, we have our Group CFO, Sanjay Gandhi, and SGA, our investor relationships advisors. I hope all of you have had a chance to go through our annual results and the investor presentations uploaded on the exchange and our company website. Our outstanding performance for fiscal year 2024 is a proof that our strategies are working and a testament to our competitive advantage as a global manufacturer. Our sustained growth, despite being one of the difficult year, is driven by leveraging our core strengths of multi-country presence of products in market design expertise and strategic customer relationships. This growth primarily stemmed from increased orders from our existing customers, yielding better relationships, as well as value-added sales from the customers which we acquired over the last 5 years. Let me start with an overview of the industry. The global textile and apparel market. The global textile and apparel market is projected to be relatively flat this coming year due to various macro factors, uncertainties, and volatile geopolitical reasons. Western country major players are being cautious due to the various elections which are scheduled this particular year, while the Asian economies continues to march ahead a little bit more sustainably. However, these developing Asian economies are also confronted with challenges such as escalating labor and production expenses in major manufacturing nations, prompting companies to relocate their production to more cost-effective locations. Additionally, the volatility in raw material prices poses some certainty challenges for us, but nonetheless, there are enough opportunities in meeting and overcoming and with this evolving consumer preferences for eco-friendly, sustainable, and organic materials, as well as in capitalizing on the rapid expansion of e-commerce, which broadens the accessible marketplaces for apparel brands and retailers. Now, the Asia-Pacific region dominates the global textile and apparel market, primarily due to the significant presence of key manufacturing nations. Among these, China remains the largest textile producer and consumer, while India is emerging as a rapidly growing economy for both export as well as consumption. Other notable performers include Vietnam, Bangladesh, and Indonesia, where our operations are very well established. Throughout the previous year, the industry encountered several challenges. These included persistent geopolitical tensions globally, which impacted industry operations, particularly in global trades, where demand saw fluctuations, significant fluctuations, and this disrupted the international trades as well. These circumstances have had a notable influence on the Indian textile sector as well, particularly those segments which are heavily dependent on the exports. Now, if I talk about the U.S., all the retailers and brands have effectively bounced back from the excess inventory situation which they experienced last year. Moving forward, we expect to see a gradual enhancement in the consumer confidence as well, highlighting the resilience and the robustness of not only the US economy, but also other worldwide economies as well. However, the industry captains are playing very cautiously optimistic approach due to the upcoming elections end of this particular year. They want to be close. They actually want to buy close to the selling season to avoid over-inventory situation once again. Thus, they are preferring the nearshore and the faster transit options. For us, faster transit options from the manufacturing countries, I mean. Now, the Red Sea adverse situation is not in favor of this particular strategy. However, for us, there is no effect of cost for the Red Sea situation that we are facing since the last 1 year. Because all our shipping are in FOB terms. As long as we can deliver the goods faster, they need actually 1 week early so that the extra time that is needed if they have to go through around the African continent. So that's 1 week is definitely expected from us that we deliver faster. Now, our manufacturing setup in Guatemala, where transit time to USA is just about a week, is getting more and more queries and lots of interest from these customers. However, the capacity in Central America is limited and would be just a fraction of what we have in Asia till date. Other markets like United Kingdom and European Union are still going conservative. However, I must say that the successful retailers and the strong players are strategizing themselves to achieve a better results than the forecasted macros. If I talk about Australia, Asia, and Japan, these markets are relatively upbeat. Most of them have come out of the COVID lockdowns only in 2023, especially like if we talk of China and the Australia and Japan market also, we saw the momentum started coming up only in 2023. And these may be relatively distanced from the geopolitical tensions that we see causing a direct impact on the Western economies. Now, if we continue, for us, we will continue to increase our Bangladesh operations, looking at several advantages that we have there. It has readily available a very stable, skilled workforce, experienced middle management, and a very strong ecosystem of banking support, improving logistical infrastructure that is happening in that country. And above all, they have some favorable trade agreements. This enables us and our manufacturing operations to uphold the high production standards and meeting of the service levels that is demanded by our customers internationally. And we can do it with ease. With regards to the wage hike in Bangladesh that we experienced end of last year, which we discussed also in our last quarter call, the increase in Bangladesh wages, if you remember, would create an impact between 12 to 15% of our wage bills. Overall, from a profit and loss perspective, it changes by approximately 1 to 1.5% when we compare to the top line. Now, we had already planned to overcome this challenge through automation and efficiency improvements. The current devaluation that happened in the Bangladeshi taka, which took place recently, is an additional help to us. In Vietnam, we will continue to grow, however, at a relatively steadier pace, like whatever you have seen in the last 3 to 4 years, the kind of pace that we had, we will continue to grow there, but with a relatively steadier pace and continue to service our higher-end customers. Indonesia will gain back its numbers. These were down over the last 2 years when we were building and shifting to our new facility away from the seashore. If you remember, like, you know, we had... Because of global warming, it was definitely the seashore is not a safe place to run a factory. In India, we enhanced our existing capacities in the states of Haryana, Karnataka, and Tamil Nadu over the last year. And going forward, you will see us investing and starting production in other states as well, where we find there are availability of trained labor force and is relatively less expensive than our existing production locations. We will plan to further automate all our facilities and all our processes, maximize the use of existing capacities and expanding them. We will continue to invest in improving our operations, implementing stronger governance processes, digitization of all our factories, and improving our financial rating. You are already aware of our dividend and capital allocation policies. We already have announced our strategic plans and objectives for 2028, and we feel that we are marching solidly on track. We will continue to add and grow with customers who are getting stronger in the world market. We will stay away and decrease our exposure for anyone which is becoming financially weak or we feel they are risky. You will see us continuing to enhance our achievements by exceeding our past records of revenue, capacity, efficiencies, and thereby directly enhancing our bottom line profits. We are dedicated to each of these objectives through the strategies that we shared with you in February meeting in Mumbai, which involves expansion plans, marketing and designing focused product categories, strengthening our strategies with the current customer relationships, and increasing the wallet share, how much they're spending with us. So in nutshell, like, this is what we have for you. Now, I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Sanjay Gandhi, our group CFO, who will provide you with the insights on the financial performance. Sanjay, over to you.
Thank you, Pallab. Good morning, everyone. I am delighted to announce yet another strong year for our company, marked by remarkable financial and operational achievements at the group level. Starting with consolidated financial highlights, I am pleased to announce that for financial year 24, on a consolidated basis, our revenue has increased by 8.8% year-on-year to INR 3,436.2 crore versus INR 3,158.4 crore in FY23. This growth was achieved on the back of our overseas revenue, which witnessed a growth of 21% year-on-year. For quarter 4 FY24, revenue grew by 20.2% year-on-year and stood at 877.4 crore. For FY24, we are happy to share that we have crossed INR 300 crore mark with respect to consolidated adjusted EBITDA and reached INR 316.4 crore, which is a growth of 22.5% year-on-year compared to INR 258.2 crore in FY23. Please note that adjusted EBITDA excludes ESOP expenses of INR 8.6 crore in FY24 and INR 2.7 crore in FY23. Going ahead, considering same allotment, ESOP expenses for next year will be in the range of INR 4.5 crore to 5 crore. For quarter 4 FY24, adjusted EBITDA witnessed a growth of 30.8% year-on-year and stood at INR 83.9 crore compared to INR 64.2 crore in quarter 4 FY23. This excludes ESOP expenses of INR 2.5 crore and INR 1.4 crore in quarter 4 FY24 and quarter 4 FY23 respectively. Furthermore, our adjusted EBITDA margin saw a year-on-year improvement of 100 basis points, rising from 8.2% in FY23 to 9.2% in FY24. The enhancement of operational efficiency notably contributed to increased revenue in Bangladesh, fostering economies of scale and subsequently boosting the EBITDA margin for our international operation. For quarter 4 FY24, we have witnessed 80 bps improvement in adjusted EBITDA margin, which grew from 8.8% in quarter 4 FY23 to 9.6% in quarter 4 FY24. PAT for the year stood at 169.1 crore versus INR 153 crore in FY23, which is a growth of 10.5% year on year. However, if you look after PAT, after minority interest, it stood at INR 174.8 crore in FY24, compared to INR 149.3 crore in FY23. For quarter 4 FY24, PAT after minority interest stood at INR 51.3 crore in quarter 4 compared to INR 51.9 crore in quarter 4 FY23, which shows a degrowth of 1%. However, there was an exceptional gain of INR 17.8 crore in quarter 4 FY23 and INR 13.5 crore in FY23. Excluding that, we have seen a good profitability both for quarter 4 FY24 as well as financial year 24. EPS for FY24 grew to INR 40.26 per share in FY24 versus INR 34.45 per share in FY23. Coming to standalone financials, revenue for the year stood at INR 953.7 crore versus INR 1103.8 crore in FY23, a degrowth of 13.6% year-on-year. The decline is mainly because of low sale volume and net business. One major reason for such decline is the business transition to Bangladesh. For quarter 4 FY24, revenue stood at INR 320 crore, which is a growth of 16.6% year-on-year, compared to INR 274.6 in quarter 4 FY23. The growth witnessed was due to increase in the woven business. Adjusted EBITDA stood at INR 49.3 crore. Adjusted EBITDA margin stood at 5.2% in FY24 compared to 6.4% in FY23. The margin pressure was due to employee expenses and other expenses being fixed in nature, thus negatively affecting EBITDA with decline in revenue. For quarter 4 FY24, adjusted EBITDA stood at INR 20.6 crore with adjusted EBITDA margin at 6.4%. PAT for FY24 stood at INR 28.2 crore, whereas quarter 4 FY24 PAT stood at INR 11.9 crore. While numbers for current financial year 23-24 for standalone have shown degrowth and drop in profitability, we continue to work on capacity expansion in existing factories and also look for suitable opportunities in other states in India on the backdrop of customer acquisition, increase in wallet share, the strategy which put in place in financial year 23-24. We are confident of improved performance on a standalone basis as we start financial year 24-25. Our strong performance at a group level is reflected with our strengthening balance sheet. On a consolidated basis, our gross debt is similar to last year level of INR 445 crore in FY24 versus INR 448 crore in FY23. Net debt to EBITDA stand at 0.25 times for FY24. Return on capital employed improved from 24.2% in FY23 to 28.2% in FY24, which is a growth of 400 basis points year-on-year. The return on capital employed has improved due to profitability in overseas market, prudent capital allocation policy, and efficient working capital management. Margin money earmarked at LC payment is excluded from capital employed calculation. We have used net debt to arrive at above stated return on capital employed. Net working capital days decreased from 38 days in FY23 to 30 days in FY24. Debtor increased to 28 days in FY24 from 24 days in FY23. Inventory days decreased to FY23 in FY24 from 59 days in FY23. Creditor days increased to 52 days in FY24 from 45 days in FY23. On a steady state basis with the growth in the business and the customer mix, we believe that net working capital days, around 35 days, should be a stable state for us going forward. To add to point of BD wages, Bangladesh wages, and its impact on profitability, to update the recent development in the month of May, Bangladesh Bank has unveiled the crawling peg exchange rate system and allowed bank to buy and sell US dollar freely nearly Taka 117. A crawling peg system is a method of exchange rate adjustment that allows a currency with a fixed exchange rate to fluctuate within a band of rates. It's a hybrid of fixed and floating exchange rate system. Central Bank in Bangladesh has also disbanded the smart formula to make interest rates in the banking system fully market-based linked thereafter. Central Bank announcement were in light of the conditions set by the IMF. During the year, we have incurred a property, plant and equipment capex of INR 115 crore and additional INR 1.25 crore approximately towards other IT-related capex. Capex of PPE, property, plant and equipment was incurred across geographies for growth, upgradation, automation and leasehold improvements and also replacement. In India, we have incurred a capex of 42 crore, where 50% was toward the growth capex and 50% toward maintenance and leasehold improvement. In Bangladesh, the total capex was incurred 40 crore, where 55% was toward upgradation and automation and 45% toward maintenance and leasehold improvement. In Indonesia, we have incurred a total capex of 16 crore towards capitalization of the building from CWIP. And so, in effect, this is also a growth capex. In Vietnam, we have incurred a total capex of 13 crore, of which 5 crore was toward automation and INR 8 crore was building improvement. In Guatemala, we have incurred INR 4 crore towards growth capex. As you are all aware, we have a dividend policy in place where the company will declare dividend of at least 20% of consolidated profit after tax in a given year to the shareholder. We are happy to share that in the fiscal year FY24, we distributed a dividend amounting to INR 38.1 crore, which is 22.5% of our consolidated profit after tax. Going ahead, with a robust performance in FY24, coupled with a strong and diverse customer base and geographical presence, we are well positioned for a strong performance in the coming years and are well on track to achieve our stated guidance for financial year 28. Thank you. We shall now open the floor for questions and answers.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Hemant Shah from Seven Islands PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning and thank you for this opportunity and congratulations Pallab and team for the fantastic numbers. I have two broad questions, Pallab. I think February FY24 presentation says that we are on track to achieve almost 6,000 to 6,200 crore of top line by FY28, as even the CFO reiterated in his comment. So just wanted to check, I mean, considering the slowdown we face this year and some futuristic, inorganic or organic growth is in mind, or I'm just trying to gauge how we are planning to achieve this 6,000 crore of top line by FY28, and are we on the track to achieve it, and how? And just broad overview about it, please.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Hemant Shah. Very valid question. And as I was just mentioning in my, speech that we are solidly on track on this strategy that we presented to all of you in the month of February. The strategy remains exactly the same. We are focusing on the customers who will give us the top tier customers, like who will give us the maximum revenue, then the second tier customers who will continue to grow with us, and then the other tiers, like where we are adding continuously our new customers and executing the business of the current that we have. Of course, like, you know, with all the things that is happening in the world, we continue to always very closely watch the performance of our customers as well. Like anywhere we find risk, then we start decreasing the volume there. And wherever, like, we find the strength, our focus and energy is more towards those guys, like, you know, who are performing well. Mm-hmm. In terms of the numbers that we have talked about, we are, as I mentioned, solidly on track. We were confident that this particular year, 2024, we would be ending up with the growth. May not be like the 15% or 20% that we talk about as a CAGR level, but this was an exceptional year. That's why there is a little bit of drop, but still we have closed around 9%. And I think if you can see, do some comparison with some of the other industry peers, like we are definitely can't say that we are going weak. We are becoming stronger only. And Naturally, like the play that we have in terms of both growing the capacity, growing the wallet share with the customers, I think all of the strategies that we have discussed and highlighted in February, we are on each one of them, I would say we are solidly on track.
Great, great to hear that, Pallab. So basically, barring FY24, I mean, we can comfortably expect at least 15 to 18% CAGR growth, right? So with that, I mean, for FY27, we can definitely expect almost over 5,500 crore of sales. And as you mentioned, the EBITDA should be in the region of 10% or so, correct?
Yes, because you see, like, you know, as the number goes up, we are not, in this whole plan, we have not talked about any acquisition of a new business.
Okay.
This is the organic growth that we are doing with the kind of infrastructure that we have. Only thing that we are adding are the new facilities to this plan. Of course, like, we will always be open if some other opportunity comes up. We will look into that. But this particular plan that we have, we are, I think, solidly on track. And as the number goes up, always there are operational efficiency that builds up. So that gives us that, you know, confidence also in terms of the bottom line performance that we have been promising all of you. So that number continues to improve.
Yeah, great, great. Well, fantastic to hear that. Or lastly, with this respect to this only, with this existing infrastructure, what kind of revenues, optimum revenues we can generate, I mean, as of today, barring the expansion which we are planning in the next 2-3 years or so to reach almost 6,000 crore, I think we need to invest something. But with the existing infrastructure, what kind of revenues and what kind of sales we can generate?
Yeah, so if you see, like, you know, if you go back 1 year or 1.5 year, we had the current infrastructure that we had, we could maximize it towards 80 million pieces of production.
Right.
Now, as I speak to you today, this is enhanced already to about 84 million pieces approximately. So this number, so even the year was tough, but we didn't change the plan because you see, like, we are continuously in touch with our strategic customers, how they are thinking, what are they planning for the next 2 to 3 years. So that conversation is always solidly on. So with that, we have not stopped in the background our enhancement capacities with the existing infrastructure that we have had. And then, you know, this particular year, as I mentioned, like in India, wherever we had the factories, so we are definitely maximizing those capacities and building up to be ready if the business, as the business goes up, we should be able to service it well. Because in India, we don't have so much of partner factory, but yes, like, we are continuing to try and get some partnerships as well. So that is happening in India. Now, going forward, we are seeing a good opportunity because of the government initiatives and all. We can open up some facilities in the other states where the availability of the workforce as well as the cost is better. Similarly, like, if you talk of all other regions, in Bangladesh, we have strengthened the current capacity utilization and also the partnerships that we have already out there. At the same time, we continue to look for opportunities to grow and acquire more factories. So that will continue to happen. Vietnam, we already have a good capacity because of our own factory as well as the partnership factories. We continue to grow that number on basis of the capacity already we have as we utilize more and more. In Indonesia, we had the change, like, in fact, we had shut down one of the factory and we built up a new factory, more inland. So that has now completed. The numbers will just go up there. So that capacity, no change out there. But Guatemala, the capacity has added in this last 1 year. So if you see, like, that's how, like, we have got from 80 to 84 already, or towards our path to become 120 to 140 million kind of capacity that we should be having for 2028, how we have planned.
Wonderful, wonderful. And lastly, with respect to this only, will there be any per unit improvement in realizations going forward? Because I think we are adding the good value-added products in Vietnam and I think even Indonesia, right? The high-value, high-margin products. Low volume.
I feel like that's something, yes, always our endeavor would be to get to a better UVRs. But when we do the projections, like what we have shared with you in February in Mumbai, that's something that, like, we are not even adding those benefits. If that comes, those benefit comes, it will be additional. So we are still taking, like, because you see, like, in our industry, always there is a variability in terms of raw material cost, in terms of other fluctuating macro factors. So yes, our endeavor always at every moment is to get to a better UVR, get to a better efficiency and better realization, better bottom line. So UVR is an important part in that. We'll definitely will continue to try to get more and more better UVRs. But that's something which is, to some extent, we have a control. If we are exposing ourselves more to the customers who are giving us a higher value and decreasing ourselves with the customers who are very competitive. So I don't want to, you know, restrict that to us. So that is why all our strategy we have made is on the basis of a similar kind of UVR. But yes, if that comes in, as we clock better and better, you will see a better advantage from our side.
Right. No, fair enough. Oh, thank you. And secondly, lastly, just one more question. I mean, the company, the Pearl Group, has done fantastic over the last 3 years once it started all this expansion. I think FY22 EBITDA is now even more, the PAT level is even more today, actually. FY22 EBITDA was 150 crore odd, and today the PAT is 170 crore in FY24, and that's a fantastic growth. The ROC, ROE is amazingly strong. So my question with respect to this is the peer comparison. If I compare Pearl Global with directly with Gokul Das, because this is the largest company actually, in fact, in terms of, the size of Pearl is even bigger than Gokul Das per se, but valuation-wise, Gokul Das is the largest peer comparison. I mean, I'll be very honest to compare directly with one-on-one. What is the difference between us and Gokul Das in terms of the products, as well as what do you think where we are lagging in terms of valuation? Because we have, I mean, as per my view, we are present across the globe, where the garment industry is penetrated quite well. We have also penetrated in Vietnam, Indonesia, Sri Lanka, including India. Gokul Das has just started. I mean, they are more focused on India. We are also almost now 3,500 crore company. Gokul Das is also talking of 15% CAGR. And today they are almost 2,300 crore company. So by 28, they will be almost, say, almost 4,500 crore company. We will be almost 6,000 crore company. So what is there, what we are missing in terms of valuation, according to you?
And that's a difficult one. I would say, when we took over in 2019, the way that we have strategized ourselves in terms of the governance, in terms of all the parameters, all the ratios that we are coming back to you quarter after quarter, telling that, okay, like, you know, this is our plan and we are achieving that. So I think that journey, maybe Gokul Das started before us. Somehow, like today, Gokul Das has got a much better confidence of the street compared to us. But I think we have also started our communication and conversation with all of you since 2021. And I can only think of that, like, you know, so maybe, like, you know, most of the investors are still watching us, have seen us. But I don't see, in terms of our performance, in terms of our parameters that we have defined ourselves and the kind of EBITDA that we are targeting. We have already improved quite a lot. We have already said that by 2028, we should be anywhere between 10 to 12. Even if you talk of 11%, then we should be very, very close. And yes, our numbers are would be more. And so far, we are only talking about organic growth. We have not done any acquisition of business. That doesn't mean that we don't want to do it, but that is not the way that we are trying to, increasing the value at this point of time of Pearl. So there is enough opportunity, and the kind of infrastructure that we had in Pearl, I want to maximize that definitely. And I think you are seeing it. I think all of you are noticing that, okay, this is the infrastructure that we had and this is the kind of result that we can deliver. And Today, like, we are 300 crore plus in terms of EBITDA. And if we do 10 to 11% that we are talking about easily, as we grow our revenue top line, so that number will continue to grow. And I think it's easy calculation for all of you to see that. And I think that's something the market has to realize and give a proper valuation to Pearl as well. And any other thing, like, I am very, very open. We are open to listen. We will adopt ourselves to if anything that we are doing wrong, or if we think that something has to be corrected in our approach. So that's something, like, I think we are very, very open and communicative at this point of time with the market. So we are listening. Whatever you're telling us, we will be talking to you. We'll be communicating with you. We'll be understanding the needs. And we definitely want to increase the valuation, because a proper valuation is something that all of us would like to have.
Yeah, yeah, no, I understand. And I appreciate your thought process also, because even now the dividend payout is also amazingly investor friendly. The EBITDA is now stabilizing. And what you said, 300 crore EBITDA, maybe in FY25 with 15% CAGR growth, the 400 crore EBITDA will become 400 crore PAT, the way it has become, 22 EBITDA has become a PAT of 24. I think 25 EBITDA can become PAT of 28. So that's an amazing journey, Palab. I think, market will take its own course, I'm sure. And all the best, Palab. Thank you for this opportunity. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
The next question is from the line of Ash. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Asha Jain from Jain Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. A couple of questions from my end. So firstly, how's Q1 FY20 shaping up so far? So how do you see the demand going forward as well? So globally, many players are bullish on the demand outlook. So how are we looking at it? And do we anticipate any slowdown at an industry level?
Mr. Jain, thank you for your question. I think the demand is at this point of time healthy. I think the biggest factor that we had in 2023 was the over-inventory situation that we are facing in the U.S. retailers. So that, I think, now we are completely over with. So naturally, the numbers, like, I think we have discussed this enough in the last few quarters. The numbers, I was expecting it to jump up by that kind of, the depth. Whatever the the decrease that happened because of the over-investigation, that I think is back. So that definitely you will see playing in the market. So I don't think anybody will complain in terms of on the book at this point of time. But if you talk about the U.S. market specifically, then what I find is most of the industry captains are still a little conservative, and they're very cautious. I would say they are doing a very cautiously optimistic kind of, approach towards the business. And that's mainly because of the elections, because of some of the geopolitics that is going on at this point of time. And the inflation and interest rates are still continues to be high. Little things, I think, is still affecting the decision-making of some of these big retailers and all. Now, but at the same time, they have plans and they are planning for the expansion, maybe like low single-digit number for this particular financial year. If you talk of Europe and UK, definitely went into some kind of official recession, they said. And Europe also, some of the countries are very slow. But still, I think most of the retailers have been very conservative for some time. But the better ones, like if you talk, think people like Inditex or some of them, like they continue to be aggressive. They continue to grow despite any kind of challenges that is thrown by the market to them. So that's something, like, there are players who have a strong strategy will continue to grow. And there will be, against the macro factors, like even if it is slowing them down, they would have some means or ways or strategies to overcome that. If you talk of the Australia market, that's relatively much more bullish. The Japanese market is much more confident at this point of time compared to the last couple of years. If you talk of China market, they had just come out of the pandemic restrictions in 2023, end of that particular year. So they are quite bullish. So I think overall, global, and that's why, like, as a company, Pearl Global, we are not only in terms of global, in terms of our manufacturing, but also we want to supply our customers globally. So, for example, a brand which could be an American brand but may be retailing in Asia, in some of these countries like China and other places, or like, you know, a Japanese brand which could be globally supplying. So we do supply to them globally from all our manufacturing hubs. So that's the objective, that's the intention that Pearl continues to march upon, and we think we are solidly on track on that. So yes, a long answer to your small question of how the demand would be. I think demand is back on track at this point of time, although it will be conservative, it will be low single-digit growth globally that I personally foresee. But yes, like if I am with the right partners, if I am with, if I have the attention of the right players who are definitely going to meet the market macro factors, so then I can do the same with them. So that's the approach that we have.
Understood. Thank you for the detailed answers. Lastly, just can you provide some information on our company's CAPEX plan for this financial year, FY25?
So, Sanjay, you want to take that?
Yes, sure, Pallav. I think you have thought. So, I just like to add here on the CAPEX plan for the FY25 and going forward. So, as a part of our four-year plan, we said, you know, we'll be investing anywhere between 500 to 550 crore in the next 4 years. Coming specific to FY24-25, in India, we are looking at a CAPEX between commitment to the CAPEX around 70 to 90 crore of CAPEX in India for the capacity expansion in other state, which we just mentioned in our earlier commentary. Plus, there will be IT-related CAPEX which will be incurred, which is towards automation and digitization across factories, new refactory, and also the some of the existing factory. That's the India CAPEX plan. And in Bangladesh, we'll be looking for some kind of an opportunity of capacity expansion. The amount as such is not really confirmed, but yes, we will be looking to add maybe a 1,000 to 1,500 machine capacity in our overall journey, as we have mentioned very clearly that how do we want to build on the capacity. I think that's the plan. So we continue to evaluate the existing facility, and as and when the opportunity is there, we'll be definitely looking at that. In Vietnam and Indonesia, we don't have any plan of a CAPEX as of now. Indonesia already we have done this year, last year. In Vietnam also there is not much CAPEX. Guatemala, we have already completed the capitalization on 31st of March. So this is a broad, CAPEX bifurcation, which is primarily towards the growth. In addition, there may be a maintenance CAPEX, which may be there in India and Bangladesh, considering the factories have been operating for a number of years, which can be around 8 to 10 crore in India, and likewise same number for Bangladesh.
Yeah, thank you, Sanjay, sir. Thank you. Yeah, sorry, like, you know, I have a little bit of throat issue today. But, Mr. Jain, like, you know, very clear, there are opportunities at this point of time, especially in countries like India and Bangladesh. I think there is a significant growth that can happen. So we do have an eye continuously in terms of any opportunity that is coming our way. So in India, like as you said, like, we will be opening up some factories in the other states. So that might need some CAPEX that we will be incurring. And in Bangladesh also same. Like, you know, Bangladesh maybe like will not go for any kind of, you know, a new facility to build up in the short run. There are very good infrastructure that is available in Bangladesh. And because of all these, you know, ups and downs that happens in the market, there are some good infrastructure always available for us to look at seriously. So that's something like we continue to look at. If something is good, we'll go for it. So those are the things like, you know, as Sanjay mentioned, number-wise, you know, now a direction. And this is the, you know, thought behind it, as I said.
Understood, sir. Thank you so much. That's all.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Sanchit Chawla from Shubhkam Ventures. Please go ahead.
So, a couple of questions from my side. Am I audible?
Yes, sir, you're audible.
Yes, you're audible.
Yeah, yeah. So I wanted to understand, you know, could you just help me understand, you know, how has the margin journey, you know, happened from 4 to 9% over the last, you know, few years? What were the low-hanging fruits that you've been able to capture? And part B of the same question is, now that you've guided for 300 to 400 bips margin expansion over the next, you know, 3-4 years, wanted to understand how those margins will come.
So, Pallab, you want, shall I take it?
You start first.
So in terms of the margin improvement, first we said, you know, there were, combination of three way we have highlighted in our earning calls, and we mentioned in the report also the basically the expansion in margin as is a three or four factor. One is the operating leverage, which was there in some of the factories which we commenced operation but were in the stage of getting stabilized. That really helped in terms of improvement in margin. The second is the change in the customer mix, then third is the product. Along with them comes the higher margin product. And that is the second reason for us to really bring an improvement in the margin. Third is the leveraging of our overseas infrastructure. So we have marketing design offices in US, UK, Spain. Now, their infrastructure is capable of handling, generating, let's say, X number of volume. Earlier it was X by 2. So that helps in overall leveraging of the situation. And still we believe there is an opportunity for us to leverage it even further, this international infrastructure, what we already have. We stated our journey is, from 10 to 12% of beta in next 3 to 4 years. And Pallab also mentioned in his commentary that with the scale what we are targeting to really grow our number of PCs that we mentioned in February from 51 million PCs of FY23 base to somewhere close to 90 to 100 million PCs, I think the scale will give us enough room to really expand our margin and reach that band which we just mentioned on the EBITDA side. Pallab, you may please add in case.
Yeah, I think this is exactly what you mentioned, all the three points. So yes, first is that now we have a very robust governance in terms of how we are investing, what kind of capital allocation, which new factory that is coming up, by how soon it can break even. So those are the strategies that we have a very, very strong, robust governance on that. So that's something is definitely helping us. Before that, if you look at my history and whatever I studied, like was a problem that was restricting this margin, was this kind of, very rigor may not have been done before the expansion. Because yes, the company was in a very, very high explosive rate of expansion earlier also. But yeah, it was not synchronized, the top line and the other expansion that was happening. So that, I think we have plugged that one problem. That definitely helped us in a big way. And the infrastructure that has always Pearl had, being in the international market and have some kind of representation in the countries like England or Spain or US, we built it up much more on it, much more professionalized it, had the right team, right people who can interact with the customers very well. So definitely it was, and initially a cost was definitely hitting our bottom line because the volumes were still low. Now, as this volume continues to grow up, we'll continue to see that advantage. That, any kind of overhead that you built up in the organization, like if the number goes up, then definitely it helps. So there are two or three things. And any expansion that now we are doing, as Sanjay just mentioned, it's very, very well planned. What kind of ROI, how soon we can hit it, where is the customer lined up for it, what kind of volume we'll start with, what kind of product that we'll be making. So those kind of things are much more well-disciplined. This is, I think, we've seen broadly the three reasons because of which you are seeing this change.
Perfect, perfect. Got that. And my second question was, on how is the pricing of the garment decided? If you give the design to the retailer, can the retailer in turn give those designs to other manufacturer? Just wanted to understand what percentage of overall garments you supply have your designs,
See, there are two things. Normally for a retailer, they have to work always through the retail price points. There's a certain product at a certain location in the store, if you walk in on day one or day 360 of the year, you'll see that the price point is very similar at that same location. So it's very difficult for a retailer to change the price. If you're selling a certain product on a particular hangar, on a particular location of the store, let's say of $19, that will not change. If you go back after maybe a couple of years or so, you might find that the price point remains same. So naturally, what they do is always design into that price point. What is the new thing that the customer is looking for? what the fashion trends are so that they can still give attractive, interesting product to the consumer, but at the same kind of price points. This is a retailer's challenge. Now, for us manufacturers, we also have to take care of other things to get to that, what should be the buying price of that. Now, when we are designing something or when we are talking together with the customer to create a product and then do it, we have a better control because we know it from the beginning. Okay, this is the price point for which this product is getting designed, and this is how this product will be sold at this particular price point. So, whatever I do, I can plan much, much better. And then there is the other option is that the certain retailers, they have designed something in-house, and then they go to maybe 10 different manufacturers and say, like, who gives me the best price, get the order. So in that case, definitely it's a competitive pricing that plays. So it doesn't mean that in the first option when I'm creating a design that I will be getting maybe a couple of dollars extra, maybe like those 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 cents better than the other one. But yes, we get a better control. We get a better visibility. So that's what is important and matters to us.
Okay, so I'm not very clear with this. I just wanted to try to understand what is your pricing power here. So if you could just help me with, one data point, what percentage of your, overall garments you supply where you have your own design?
So when we are supplying to the customers today, where we have some kind of design input, maybe a partial one or a complete one. So that number today offhand, from top of my head, I would say close to about 50%. In which we had certain role to play. So that means, like, I get an assurance, okay, this is the kind of product that I will be booking at the end of the day.
50%, right?
Of our total, yeah.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pulkit Singhal from Dalmus Capital Management. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity and congrats to the management team for an exceptional performance during tough times with good return on capital matrix as well. My first question is on the debtor days. When I look at it like 4-5 years ago, it used to be in the 45-50 days range. And I think last year, FY24, you got it down to 25 days. So can you help us understand what has driven that? Has there been some substitution of margins to be able to bring down debtor days? And also, whether this 25 is sustainable as you scale up in the next 3 years.
So I can start and then Sanjay, you can add. Definitely, thank you, first of all, Mr. Singhal, for the question. And I think very good inputs always I get from you. So now this particular one, like, we had done certain policies and strategies at our end in terms of both risk mitigation as well as to ease the working capital. So that particular factoring part is continuing to bring down the number of days that you are seeing. And yes, going forward, if I have to look at it as I expose myself more in terms of other geographies, like let's say to Japan market or to Australia market and all. Now, certain, like U.S. market or European market, they work more in terms of buy is much more shorter and much more frequent compared to some of the retailers in the other these markets, which could be they do at longer lead time or maybe they buy twice a year, most of some of them. So those are things will alter a little bit, I would say, but we don't see a huge variation. If I look at it, if you ask me, I think the best would be around 35 to 40 in that range, 30 to 40 range, maybe maximum 45. But I think that's where, we would continue to retain, contain it in the 30s. Sanjay, why don't you detail it much better?
Yeah. So, okay. Yeah, thanks. So basically the total working capital days, as we keep growing and the scale what we have envisage or vision to reach is by FY28 with a mix of the customer from Japan, Australia, UK and USA. I think overall net working capital days could be around 35 to 40 days. However, for the debtors days, our target will remain to be hovering around 30 days time period, plus minus 2-3 days. That's what the target is. And I think with all the non-recourse financing we have in place for existing one, and the focus to bring that same kind of a method of realization or mechanics of realization for the new customer, we should be continuing to maintain on a debtor days. What Pallav just mentioned about the longer period, a little bit inventory, that may have, you know, elongate the inventory days by 4-5 days time period. But overall, we are looking at net working capital days anywhere between 35-37 days.
And this is compared to 35 for FY24.
Yeah. So FY23 we have 38, FY24 we have 30. So I'm saying we can be anywhere in the range of 35 to 40 days on a net working capital days.
Understood. Secondly, on the capacity front, I mean, you have 84 million capacity, you're doing 57 million sales. Your capacity addition is going ahead of the utilization. So I'm just trying to understand that why is that necessarily the case? We have to constantly add capacities to utilize rather than increase the utilization in the existing. I understand different factories have different utilizations, but what is the challenge you're facing there? Because India, I know that some of the factories are not very efficiently utilized, but can we not like relocate some of them or utilize them better?
Now, in terms of in our industry, like, you know, when we're supplying to some of these international clients, to get a factory approved or get a region approved is the biggest hurdle. The entry hurdle is the biggest hurdle, like, you know, if you look at it. So the compliance norms, the confidence that the teams of the customers would like to have on a factory, it takes time. It takes anywhere between 6 months to 18 months. If you look at it, you know, to certain customers. So that's something is a reality of our industry. So wherever we are finding that, you know, to build an infrastructure and be ready, because the good thing is that our factory or the cost that goes on into the factory is something that we can control very well. One is the workers' cost, like that is something in India, specifically you're talking about, like India has a particular challenge. I think I'm sure like all other manufacturers must be also facing, like if it cannot be only us, that we find the attrition and absenteeism rate is a little out of control in India. Whereas globally, we find, globally means like, you know, if I talk about very other strong regions like, you know, Indonesia, Bangladesh and Vietnam and all, we are able to control below 4%. Whereas India, we are still not able to bring down to that level at all. We are almost like double than that number at this point of time. So that also is one good thing. Like, you know, if we need to, if we're seeing that the demand is going soft, then it doesn't, we don't have to lay off people. Because already there is an attrition. Every month we see that this kind of average 7-8% people are returning is happening in some of these places where we have the factories. So definitely two ways we are trying to tackle that. We are going more into the interiors where we don't have to depend on the migratory level, but on the local level where at least this attrition factor will come down. Absenteeism we will be experiencing as we start the facilities in these locations. But in terms of capacity, the good thing that Pearl has is a combination of our own facilities as well as partnership facilities. Now, if you look at the kind of existing capacity that I had in 2024 and the adjustment that I could do very easily without any cost and still utilize that, it's a very healthy number. So that doesn't worry me at all. Same thing is for the other locations as well. So that is why we don't see this as a big concern. But yes, to be ready to develop a facility to make sure that it is of the highest global standard and some of the retailers like to go through their rigorous process of evaluation and be ready with them. So that is something like we continue to be always upfront about.
Understood. My third question is just on the guidance itself. I know we've talked about the four-year guidance. Can you just very specifically quantify for FY25, what is the kind of revenue growth band and margin band that you're expecting? Because I think you have visibility at least for the first half or next 4 or 5 months of growth. So if you could give some sense.
Thank you, Mr. Singhal. That's a question that you always are very direct about in all our calls. So yes, definitely the market has come out of that US inventory issue that we had earlier. So definitely we are back on track in terms of what we have always said, that all our strategies are towards having CAGR of 15 to 18% to even as high as 20%. That will continue to strive on that direction. So if you're asking me for this particular year, I'm seeing that, okay, we are solidly on track, at least in that direction as of now.
Okay. And for the margins?
Margins, yes, the international locations that we have definitely a very solid control. And we have, as you can see in our results, that is coming through. In India, the challenges that we are doing, like we are definitely learning every day. And we are also having a lot of solutions that digital solutions, the digitization of our factory, the processes, the governance. So it is always evolving, and we are getting more and more confident on that. So we'll see a good margin from all the locations going forward. So in general, in our internally, like we, every location has to generate that margin. So that's something like, you know, we internally always strive for. But yes, one place may have a bit of more challenges compared to the others. So that's something that we have to always overcome.
Understood. Just last quick question is on finance cost. It has gone up from 47 crores to 83 crores in 2 years. Whereas your gross debt has actually come down a bit, and I understand there's some element of leasing aspect as well. But still, the cost has gone up quite sizably. I mean, how should we look at this line item over the next 2-3 years? Because you are generating quite a big, good amount of cash flows, although they're not really paying down the debt for some reason.
Yeah, definitely. This is high on our list as well. So we are working on this. So Sanjay, maybe that you can add.
Yeah. So finance cost, as you mentioned, there is a interest on lease liability, you know, almost 13.6 crore. And that has risen from 8 crore. So you see the almost 5 to 6 crore increase is on account of interest on lease liability. Otherwise, if you look at, there is an increase also. But in terms of 83 crore of total finance cost, the interest on term loan and the working capital is around 46.8 crore. The rest, we have the other borrowing costs, which we have factoring and plus, you know, the LC charges and bank LC charges largely, and other the processing fees which is to be paid to the bank for renewal of all our facility across the location. With the reduction in the interest rate, there will be definitely optimization, and with the cash accrual also, there is definitely an opportunity to keep the interest costs under control. Also, we are looking at, you know, we'll keep looking at some of the prepayment of long-term loan, which the cost is, interest cost is high at this point in time. Having said that, the leverage is something which we are very conscious of it, and leverage will go in line with the growth strategy, keeping a optimum combination. We as a company have been a conservative in terms of taking a too much loan, but at the same time, when there will be some growth opportunity, growth capex will be incurred, there will be some loan which also be taken. But at the same time, we are conscious of this high interest curve. We are monitoring it and taking all steps which are required to control it. I think our rating improvement has also helped us in keeping the interest cost under control as far as India operation is concerned. And overseas also, we are looking at improvement, reduction in the cost, and also using internal approval to bring it down wherever there is an opportunity to do that.
Understood. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you, Mr. Singh.
The next question is from the line of Varun Gajaria from Omkara Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations on a good
set. Sorry to interrupt, sir. I request that you use your handset. Your audio is not clear, sir.
Yeah,
No, sir, we are unable to hear you.
Okay, I'll get back to you. There's a sorry.
If you could use your handset, sir.
I am using my handset actually. If you get some problem at my end, I'll.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Yeah, thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
So, is Varun able to speak? Varun, Mr. Varun, can you?
Sir, he said he'll take it offline, sir. He has an audio issue from his end.
Okay.
Thank you, everyone, for joining on the call. I hope we have been able to address all your queries. For any further information, kindly get in touch with Strategic Growth Advisor or Investor Relations Advisor.
Thank you. On behalf of Pearl Global Industries Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.